The dark glasses were my tribute to you, a compliment. I wanted you to know that your shining, radiant faces were so bright, it was difficult to read my notes. Well, maybe a slight exaggeration. But all these days are more than life. Like on the side of the mountain, I met a friend from Africa with tears in his eyes, and he said, "My head is leaking love." And I understood that because my own tear ducts have become canals, especially during the day of the election, when I saw the name Iran and the standing ovation of silence for that wonderful body, and every time a red rose was given out. And I especially had tears of joy for all the wonderful new National Spiritual Assemblies. And out of the ocean, Baha'u'llah found the jewels, and when I saw and heard them say, "Tuvalu," and on and on and on, I could see the wonderful things that were happening. So really what I said, it probably is not an exaggeration. You know, when I was on pilgrimage, the beloved guardian said our faith was a faith of superlatives. That's why we say the greatest name, the most great peace, the greatest holy leaf, the most great prison, all superlatives. And that's the best we can do. Language is too weak to try to express the majesty, greatness, and wonder of this cause of ours. Beloved guardian said that if we truly knew who Baha'u'llah was and understood his station, and who we were just because we bore the name Baha'is, we would fall to the ground. Numb. No doubt like Ezekiel, who fell numb and overwhelmed in the presence of the glory of God. Well, that's really my theme this morning, beloved friends. I'm taking the theme from Amatul Baha Rohia Khanum, which he so eloquently began the first day of the consultations of this convention with. I would like to close the last day of this historic convention the same way. The greatness and power of the cause and our need to become purified, eager, willing instruments. When I was a young man, I came to this mountain of God and entered the presence of the beloved guardian. And the world became another world. And everything I saw except him became ashes. And before I left my pilgrimage, I know I've told some of you, I wanted to go up to the archives building and get Mullah Hussein's sword, get on a white horse, and ride out shouting, "Ya Sahib al-Zaman," and conquer the world for him, and bring in that vast number of new believers he longed to see. Now, I am an old man, and I still haven't done it. Once again, I'm on the side of the mountain of God. But this time, I have been given the greatest opportunity in my entire Baha'i life to become worthy of him, the sign of God on earth, and to help usher in that great tidal wave of triumphs. And I'm hoping to do it through you, the generals of the plan, and your radiant spiritual army. Planetary army, for that's what it is, the one waiting for you at home. What I'm going to say, most of you already know, and some of you surely better than I, but maybe many of your believers at home, especially the new ones, do not know the fantastic, incredible wonder, power, and transforming love of the faith they have accepted. Look above me at the greatest name. Baha'u'llah said in the gleanings that with just one of the powers of the greatest name, we could change the world. And he says, from his lips have gone out counsels that can satisfy the needs of the whole of mankind, as the Universal House of Justice has told us in their message. And through the power of this name, the dissensions that divide the people and kindreds of the world can be blotted out from the face of the earth forever. Arise, Baha'u'llah calls out, before the nations of earth, and arm thyself with the power of this most great name, a name empowered to revive the dead souls of humankind. Imagine, each one of you in this room, from among the nearly 3 billion people of the world, have been chosen by God to be here this week. You have entered and been seated under the dome of the seat of the house of the Lord of hosts. And you are among the very first people on the planet ever to have that long-awaited privilege. Think of that. To be present here on the mountain of God when that historic prophetic process has taken place and our majestic universal house of justice has assumed its holy seat. The beloved guardian wrote, "The universal house of justice will be elected, raising high its noble frame above the world of existence. It will pour its healing waters upon the warring nations and peoples of the world to wash away the evils and iniquities of the realm of dust and heal man's age-old ills and ailments." Then, in that moment, Shoghi Effendi wrote, I'm paraphrasing his beautiful words, "Then will all our hopes and aspirations be realized. The pillars of the faith, you, will be firmly established. And the cause of our Lord will bear fruit, and its fame will be fulfilled from one end of the earth to the other." When that house of justice is erected, the beloved guardian said, it will be the beginning of an era the like of which has never been witnessed in bygone ages, an age the like of which the eyes of men have never seen. It is no wonder the Blessed Beauty Baha'u'llah declared that neither the sun nor the moon have witnessed such a day as this day. So my appeal to you now, this morning, is very simple and very direct. It is to lead and inspire your country unitedly in a great wave of teaching and win the most important goal of all, that goal that still has escaped us, that vast increase in the number of new believers in every part of the world. Our beloved guardian, in his very last message to the Baha'i world, dated October 1957, made clear his longing to see this process underway. The beloved guardian said, "Our efforts must be immortalized, by an unequaled increase in the number of avowed supporters of the faith in all the continents of the globe, of every race, clime, creed, and color, and from every stratum of present-day society, immortalized." Our universal house of justice has issued many similar appeals for teaching for those new believers to be taught everywhere, in every land, in cities, on the farms, in the schools, the universities, the factories, among the masses, and they have even made it the stated goals of our plan, so we no longer can avoid it. But we simply haven't done it yet, have we? Wonderful things, but not that goal. At least I don't believe we have immortalized our lives with a flood of new believers. I know I haven't. Shoghi Effendi said that all other goals, all other victories, every ramification of every plan is designed in the end to win this major version of the masses, which will lead to the spiritualization of mankind. This vast increase in new believers, he made it clear to us, makes possible. More, it is absolutely essential to the financial support needed to win and sustain and support all other goals. Building projects, temples, schools, those things of prestige, new national assemblies, new local assemblies, a flood of new believers is the heart and soul of the plan. And our beloved guardian also warned us that if we did not enroll this great unprecedented number of new believers, we would be failing to protect the faith properly. How important it was. And if we didn't, he said, we would suffer. And we should never forget this. If we establish strong, vigorously functioning national assemblies and local assemblies in the cities and in the villages all around the planet, representing large segments of that society, our enemies would be afraid to attack us. Shoghi Effendi even said, wrote specifically, and you'll find it in the Citadel of Faith, that the mildness or the fierceness of the attacks that will be launched against us would be determined by the large number of devoted Baha'is we had or the lack of it. If we were strong with large numbers in all walks of life, the enemy would hesitate. If we were weak with only a relatively few, they would overwhelm us. And then when the crisis passed, we should have to begin again, all over again. That alone should make us rise up like lions. As the world gets worse, we have to get better. And we're not keeping pace. No matter what the crisis may be, whatever crisis we face, new believers, the beloved guardian said, was the answer. He said, drown your troubles in an ocean of new believers. An ocean. And we have to hurry because the time is really getting short. A half a century ago, our beloved guardian urged us to hasten with this primary, prominent task in one of his messages, which he said must take precedence over all other tasks, enrolling the masses. He said the world, with all the various calamities that have befallen it, will be completely ravaged and its civilization demolished if the Baha'is do not come to its help and imbue it with the spirit that Baha'u'llah has brought into the world. The economic factions, political parties, national hatreds, racial prejudice, and religious antagonisms will continue to bring about devastating wars until the spirit of the cause permeates the heart of man and its universal teachings pull down the existing barriers. So he said, let us be reminded of our duty by the misery we see around us and arise for the prosecution of our noble duty. Have we imbued the world with the faith? Have we permeated the heart of men and women everywhere, all mankind? Imbue means to saturate. To permeate means to pervade and to pass through the very pores. And again saturate with spirit. Beloved friends, in 140 years, we still have far less than 0.5% of the population of the world. And as an old sports broadcaster, I know that even in the making of alcoholic beverages, if you'll forgive the expression, even in the making of alcoholic beverages, 0.5% is considered to be non-intoxicating. Well, our wine of the love of God is intoxicating. And the faith is so powerful that we win victories no matter how pitiful and puny our efforts. Inadequate our drops of sacrifice may be, but still we win victories. And that's really the theme of my talk. It's really a joyous one. It's to see the power. But with the Baha'u'llah says, in fact, when Mrs. Sears, my wife Marguerite, was on pilgrimage, those are the five most loved and popular words that I have in my vocabulary when I was on pilgrimage. For her the same. The beloved guardian said that the supreme concourse was hovering between heaven and earth, looking for instruments, and that the power had been so little used that it was accumulating. That was 30 years ago. So the power to be released must be tremendous, and it is our hope that this world convention will release it. But here's what the Blessed Beauty said to show that we win the victories in spite of ourselves. He said, an act, however infinitesimal, is, when viewed in the mirror of the knowledge of God, mightier than a mountain.
Every drop proffered in his path is as the sea when seen in that mirror. And when we are encouraged by the victories our infinitesimal acts had won and our tiny drops of sacrifice had accomplished, once the beloved guardian poignantly wrote, we see what even a little effort on our part can achieve. We can only wonder what would happen if an entire national community worked together in one great concerted effort. Isn't it about time? We found out. Not in one great concerted national effort, but in one great concerted planetary effort. I mean, you, the generals of the 7-year plan, you're all here. It's possible to begin such a planetary spiritual campaign now in this room. There will never be a higher level strategy meeting for the spiritual conquest of the planet than this. Will we ever have such a chance as this chance again? You are returning from the heart of the world to inspire the friends at your own national conventions, those delegates who can set on fire your entire national spiritual army if you bring the torch that sets them ablaze from here. Once again, I would like to take up that ringing call of Amitul Baha Rihikanum to seize this spirit and carry it back with you. I am speaking on behalf of all my fellow hands, the remnants of the beloved guardian, and would like to share once again from our wonderful writings the staggering, fantastic spiritual power you hold in the palms of your hands, the blazing torch you can pass on to those homelands of yours and everyone in it. Shoghi Effendi says, today, the need is so great on the part of humanity to hear of the divine message that the believers must plunge into the work wherever and however they can, heedless of their own shortcomings. He says that we must have a perfect reliance upon God and let our hearts burn with the desire to serve his mission and proclaim his call. And then he promises, you will observe how eloquence and the power to change human hearts will come as a matter of course. From on high, you just have to report for duty with a pure heart and say, Baha'u'llah, here I am, use me, and the power will come pouring down. Every soldier in your army at home should know that and feel those things. The words which Shoghi Effendi wrote to all national spiritual assembly members, applies equally as well to every local assembly member in your land, that Baha'u'llah would transform all of their shortcomings and deficiencies into positive ways to win the victory. This is what he says. We are filled with feelings of unworthiness and dismay, and we would be truly disheartened but for the comforting thought that if we rise to play nobly our part, every deficiency in our lives will be more than compensated for by the all-conquering spirit of his grace and power. Not half of your deficiencies or some of your deficiencies and our deficiencies, all of them. But again, we have to arise nobly to play our part. He says the very act of striving to serve, however unworthy we may feel, attracts the blessings of God and enable us to become worthy, more fitted for the task. Isn't that a tremendous thing? Never before in the religious history of the world, in our faith, it is the service itself that is the capacity. If you arise to serve, the capacity will come to win those victories. If we arise, Shoghi Effendi says, in the advent of divine justice, the most puny and insignificant among the followers of Baha'u'llah can accomplish such wonders as would dwarf the mightiest achievements of even Peter, the first apostle of Jesus the Christ and founder of his church. The poor, the illiterate, the uneducated, the peoples in the village, with those pure hearts, if they respond, they will do things greater than the first apostle of Christ. Imagine what would happen if the educated and the privileged would have that same wonderful spirit. Think of what will happen in your country if you give everybody a chance to arise. And it means, everybody, Shoghi Effendi promises